Live in studio, we've got Kyle Malin from the MERS newsletter. He's been kind enough to come in. Kyle, how are you?
Great. Thanks for having me,
Tony. Yeah, nice to see you. I just hear you on the phone most of the time.
Just decided to show up and
yeah.
See. It's a special occasion today. It's primary election day.
So. How's that new baby letting you sleep?
I guess I got to sleep at 1 or 2 last night.
Yeah, are you sharing the duties now?
Yeah. Kind of splitting time.
I know how that is. It was always tough for me because I'm a light sleeper, so I hear the slightest thing, you know. So.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, if it gets me out of that birthing thing, I'm all for it, you know. Well, let's talk about today. It's a big day. Lots of big primaries. You know what's interesting is some of the races, especially that Susan Schmidt race against Sam Singh. Both of them are pretty high-profile people. Both of them have some money in the coffers. Talk about state representative races here in the mid-Michigan area.
Well, let's start in the 69th district because I think that one really is the most interesting one, the fact that you've got two candidates who are campaigning extremely hard. Both candidates are up on TV with television ads, and I don't think that there's anybody else in the mid-Michigan area who's got actual television ads up right now, and here you've got two in the same district. It's the fifth most expensive race in the state on the state house. When you combine both of the money they've raised compared to other districts, it's the fifth highest spending one, and that's over races in Oakland County and some in Grand Rapids as well. So I think that's pretty significant. What you have here really is a difference of personalities. You've got Sam Singh, who is former East Lansing City Council member, mayor. He's been on the ballot several times before, and it's kind of been political observers have seen as kind of groomed for this position. He's been active in the Democratic Party even when he hasn't been in office. And then you've got Susan Schmidt, who's done a completely different track. She's been on the schools. She's been on the school board, school council president, been active as a teacher, as adjunct faculty right now at Lansing Community College, worked with Mark Meadows in his office for several years before deciding she wanted to do this herself. And I think what's made this race so intriguing is that you've got two candidates who know what they have to do in order to get to win, and are both doing it, and both have likable personalities that are attracting folks to their campaign. I think that's what makes it so exciting.
Discuss their similarities or how they may differ from Meadows.
Well, I think that as far as, you know, how are they going to vote on the House floor? And I bet you they probably vote the same in practically every vote. I think they just bring different perspectives. Speaking with both of both individuals, you know, Sam Singh has the more of a world view. He did spend a year of his life going around the world, literally on his own dollar, just to check out different cultures to see what life is like out there. He does have a lot of union connections. He's got a lot of connections with the Democratic Party. So I think he brings kind of, and he knows how government works as an elected official and how to care for constituents, and he's very receptive in that way. So he brings that perspective. Susan Schmidt brings the perspective, I think, of a mom and somebody who is in the front lines taking care of children. She knows how the schools work. And if education is a top priority for you, Susan knows how it works, not from the school board level, but also from the classroom level and an apparent level, and knowing how those interactions work with parents and teachers and board members. And, you know, I think that strikes a chord with a lot of folks out there who feel like education is a top priority, and Susan's got her finger on the pulse of that.
Who wins, Diane? Well, who wins that seat, do you think?
Well, I do think Sam Singh's going to win, but I think that it could be very close. It could come down to a couple hundred votes, and if Susan wins, I wouldn't be shocked.
Who do you think wins Diane Byram's seat?
Well, I think we've got kind of a different dynamic working there. I really think we've got such a low-profile race there with Walt Sorg and Tom Cochran and Jerry Ketchum that I think we're going to see a very low turnout. And, I guess Tom Cochran, if organized labor comes out for him and organized labor is able to get supporters behind him, I could see him very easily winning.
Former fire chief
of the city of Lansing. You know, his base is in Mason. He's a school board member there. So I could see him winning in that regard. But Walt Sorg has been at this a long time, and he does have a lot of endorsements from elected officials. Has he knocked enough doors? Has he been able to make enough voter contact, though, to carry the day? I guess we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if Walt wins, though, either.
And talk about two different races. You've got Singh and Schmidt, very sexy, if you will, personality-driven and whatnot. And then in this other race, no disrespect to Mr. Cochran and Mr. Sorg, but they're not really tantalizing people to go out to the polls and vote.
Well, and the thing is Tom Cochran's only been in the race since May, and he hasn't done a lot of TV, radio interviews. You know, it's been kind of an under-the-radar type, you know, type race really for him. And Walt Sorg isn't going to knock a ton of doors, and this is a district that's hard to knock anyway when you start getting in the rural areas.
Sure.
And, you know, you get some areas in Holt, I suppose, but it's just not as walkable as a district as East Lansing and Meridian Township, where you can literally hit every door in the district if you want.
How important is that, Kyle, to try and press the flesh?
Well, I think that's a lot more important than mail, for instance. I mean, mail's the next way you try and get people's attention. But let's be honest. I mean, you get these types of mailers and you kind of look at the name. Oh, that's nice. And you throw it in the recycle bin. You know, when you actually have somebody at your door saying, hi, my name is Kyle Malin, and, you know, or my name is, you know, Walt Sorg or Tony Conley or whatever. I'd like, you know, it's a different feel. You've actually got to meet people. And I tell you, it makes a difference for me personally. Has this person knocked on my door? Have they written me a little note? You know, the personal touch matters. It really does.
Susan Schmidt signs are all over the Williamston area.
Is that right?
It's almost like it's being in East Lansing. You know, they're everywhere.
Yeah. And you know what? What I always look for on the signs is, are they in actual people's lawns? Are they in places of business? Because while signs don't vote, the people who have allowed these signs to be put on their property do vote. And they wouldn't put signs on their property of people they're not going to vote, as opposed to, let's say, right-of-ways or, you know, in the median somewhere. I mean, somebody just kind of plopped that on there. That doesn't mean much to me at all. Usually those signs, whoever signs those are, I usually think, oh, that person's probably going to lose.
All right. Representative Opsomer's seat is also vacant.
Yeah. And that's a competitive primary, too, if you're up in Clinton County. You know, this one has actually got a lot of money spent in it, too. I think that race is a top tenner as well as far as money spent, with Kevin Kirk in that race. He's running a very competitive race. He's kind of come out of nowhere, a former Department of Agriculture employee. He's been a big hit with the farmers. And then you've got Tom Leonard, who has come from a different track as well. He's kind of, I don't want to say the establishment candidate, but he's gotten a lot of support from establishment folks, especially in the law enforcement community. He's on leave from the Attorney General's office as an assistant prosecutor, assistant attorney general, if you will. Young guy who's really taken that DeWitt area, the southern part of that district, and has knocked a lot of doors and is trying to take that into victory here, since the other candidates are from St. John's. And the final one, Michael Trebisch, ran 2 years ago against Brian Kelly, who was very high profile. Has a lot of money somehow. He's put another $100,000 into this race, made himself very visible once again. So it could be any one of the three there.
You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show, 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. It's 58 degrees and 718. We're talking with Kyle Malin, who's the editor of the MERS newsletter, one of our main sources for news and information in regards to what's happening locally as well as at the state capitol. In a big, big race, I tell you, it's fiery, that drain commissioner race.
It's pretty fun, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, don't worry about the issues in that one. You know, it's which one looks like the worst personality. And, you know, and I think that's what Mark Grebner's strategy was all along. It had to be, because as far as knowing the drain commissioner's office, he isn't going to beat Pat Lindemann on that. And that's not why he's interested in the race anyway. I mean, as somebody who's very much in tune with how budgets work and trying to spend voter and taxpayer money as efficiently as possible, Mark Grebner took a look at how Pat Lindemann's running that office and was pulling his hair out, what little hair he's got left, and figured, you know what, let's send a signal here, and let's see if we can get voters keyed in on an office that spends a lot of money and is extremely powerful in the fact that it can raise voter assessment without a public vote. It's extremely powerful position in this state. It's how water gets moved around. And hey, if you're in an area that's in a flood, not even in a flood district, but has problems with water management, drain commissioner comes in there, he's got to come up with a plan to try and get that water away. And you need somebody who's going to be responsible and know what they're doing in order to make that an effective office. So you've got somebody who knows what they're doing compared to somebody who thinks they're going to be more frugal with your money.
Who wins?
Well, I think Pat Lindemann wins just in the sense that he's had the job before. And while Mark Grebner has pointed out some flaws in that office, there hasn't really been that smoking gun, that one where you can say Pat Lindemann is wrapped in scandal. You just can't say it because there's really nothing that you can pin it on. Yeah, you can say that he could be a little bit more tighter with the money. Maybe you have some questions about his hiring practices. Maybe you could say that. But at the end of the day, there's really nothing that you can say, yeah, he's done an awful job.
Who wins?
So I think Lindemann wins. Yeah, I think.
And let's backtrack. Who do you think wins Opsomer's seat?
Well, I think Tom Leonard's going to probably win, and the reason is that I do think it's going to come down to geographics. Mike Trebisch and Kevin Kirk are both from St. John's, so I think they're going to eat that up a little bit. You get down that DeWitt area, it is such a high propensity to vote there. You know, I think that southern Clinton County area has the highest voter turnout of any place in the mid-Michigan area, and possibly the state. It is really an amazing thing to watch. While other areas are looking at 15, 20%, these folks out there are nearing 45, 50%
of
eligible. And I don't know why that is, but folks down there vote. And Tom Leonard is from that area and has knocked that area extensively on the doors. And I think that that's going to make the difference in this one.
All right. Any other races you'll be keeping your eye on? Anything statewide that you're interested in?
Well, have we talked much about the 70th district?
No,
at all?
We haven't.
That's the Eaton County district where the winner is going to face Deb Shaughnessy. Mm-hmm. That one I'm also going to be keeping my eye on with Andrea Cascarella, Teresa Abed, and Doug Drake. Another competitive race where folks are actually raising dollars and going out and meeting people. I think Andrea Cascarella's got an edge there. She's had the financial edge. And, once again, if signs vote, Andrea's got an edge there. But this is a 50-50 district, too, in which you're going to be facing an incumbent in Deb Shaughnessy, who has raised a substantial amount of money. She's approaching $100,000, which is very helpful to go on radio later for mailers, for voter contact. So this is going to be a very competitive race. Delta Township has gone more Democratic in years past, and this entire Eaton County district is approaching 50-50 as far as a competitive angle with Barack Obama on the ballot. A Democrat could win that one, Tony.
Any proposals you'll be keeping your eye on?
Well, there's two that I think has caught the media's attention here in Lansing, one of which is whether we're going to sell that Waverly Golf Course and that Michigan Avenue Park is in the equation. You know, that sledding hill is on there, and I use that sledding hill. I didn't know that was part of the deal there. So, I know that in the end the city council would have to approve any project. God, that's a lot of land there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of land. So we kept keeping an eye on that. And, of course, the CATA proposal as well. The Lansing State Journal's been following that quite extensively. I was surprised to see that they were a no vote on that, considering the amount of seniors and folks in rural areas who use that service. So I think those are two that voters here in mid-Michigan are going to want to keep their eye on, or in Lansing anyway, for sure.
All right, we're going to get you up tomorrow morning, and we'll talk about the winners and the not-so-winners.
Now, you're saying get me up. You're assuming that. You're assuming I ever went to bed. I may not be. We'll see.
And, of course, you'll be updating the MERS website with the results as you can.
Yeah, as soon as we get something that is concrete and is of high profile, like a congressional race or the U.S. Senate race, we'll have something up as soon as possible.
Kyle Malin is with the MERS newsletter. You're listening to the Tony Connolly Morning Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS Morning.